Okay, so my message this morning is called Laugh. Laugh. And to be totally honest, let's just get this right clear at the start. This message is completely plagiarized. Okay, I've just stolen stuff from everybody else, so there's a couple of little original bits in it, but you know, God's the author of joy. We're about to do joy to the world, and one of the things I'm probably a little bit aware of is that I actually think sometimes Christians look the most unhappy, and they don't laugh enough. I think Christians should be the happiest people, the people that laugh the most. You know, even my concept or our concepts a lot of times of Jesus is that he was very serious, but I actually don't think he was. You can't attract children to you if you look angry and grumpy, and you know, kids don't respect any of the boundaries. They just walk away from you, they just run away. But if you're full of life, got a big smile and happy, I think kids come running. Jesus obviously was also a bit of a partier. You know, that's what they called him. They called him a wino. Obviously, he was dancing on the tables at times. Now, for some of us, that will go, oh, hold on. I've never thought of Jesus that way. But Jesus had to be full of life and had to be someone who laughed. I grew up in a house that had a lot of laughter because my dad was a loud, loud laugher. And I can still remember to this day him watching Frank Spencer. How many people remember Frank Spencer? How many people have got no idea who Frank Spencer is? There we go. It's all right. You can go Google and go have a look at that. You might laugh, you might not laugh. But I can remember my dad just absolutely rolling around laughing. And it was, you know how some people get to this stage, they're laughing so much, you don't think they can laugh anymore. And then something else happens. And I mean, he got so loud. Our neighbours possibly wondered what was going on. He was loud. And so, you know, once one person starts laughing, we're just laughing at them really, aren't we, when they get going. Did you just point at Tim then?
We have been in the movies.
Tim, well, that's good. I'm glad you're here this morning. That'll just help us all get going. look, laughter is actually very therapeutic. It's very therapeutic. And so people should laugh. People should laugh in church more. The definition of laughter is even funny itself. Let me read you this. definition of laughter, to express certain emotions, especially mirth or delight, by a series of spontaneous, usually unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Isn't that a bit? When you laugh, your body performs, this is what someone wrote, I thought this was very good, rhythmic, vocalized, exploratory, and involuntary actions. 15 facial muscles contract, and there is an electrical stimulation into, and I don't even know how to put it, into the zygomatic muscle. Major muscle, so some muscle gets really excited. And that is the muscle that extends, oh, okay, here's the muscle. This is the muscle that extends from each cheekbone to the corners of the mouth. It raises the corners of the mouth when the person smiles. Currents of varying intensity, produce a wide range of facial responses. The respiratory system is upset by the epiglottis. See, even that's funny. Half-closing. It half-closes. Some nurse can explain this to us all sometime. So that the air intake occurs in irregular gasps rather than calm breaths. Under extreme circumstances, the tear ducts are activated. So that while the mouth is opening and closing, there is a struggle for sufficient amount of oxygen intake. The face becomes moist and often red. Noises often accompany this odd behaviour, ranging from controlled snickers, escaped chortle, who uses that word? And spontaneous giggles to ridiculous cackles, noisy hoots, and uproarious gaffes. Laughter is an amazing thing. It's actually a tension dissolver. It's an antidote for anxiety. And I do think that one of the reasons a lot of people are stressed is they don't laugh enough. And here's something that God's given us to do that is actually therapeutic for us, to laugh. So we've got to start finding the fun. We need to learn to laugh at our circumstances. Someone asked President Lincoln how he handled the stresses of the Civil War. And his answer was that if he hadn't been for laughter, I could not have made it. Which is a fascinating thing. Many famous comedians grew up in poor neighborhoods with lots of problems. And they coped with their troubles by being funny and laughing and making other people laugh. We need to laugh more. Some of us need to learn to laugh. If you can laugh at it, you can live with it. If you can laugh at something in your life, it actually helps you to live with it. So there was a Spanish nun, and this is what she said. She who laughs, lasts. Did it make sense? She who laughs, lasts. And she used to look for novices who knew how to do three things: laugh, eat, and sleep. I've got the eating all under control there. I've got that going. That's all right. She believed that if you ate heartily, then you were healthy. If they slept well, they were more likely free of serious sin. I thought that was a fascinating observation. I hope nobody here is having trouble sleeping. and if they laughed, they had the necessary disposition to survive a difficult life. Isn't that fascinating? There's a Jewish proverb says, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. Mark Twain said, laughter is the greatest weapon that we humans possess, and it's one that we use the least. Abraham Lincoln said, if I do not laugh, I should die. I don't know why that's even in there. I should have probably taken that one out. Henry Ward Beecher said, mirth is God's medicine. Everybody ought to bathe in it. Laughter is an instant vacation. Alan Adler, when people are laughing, they are generally not killing each other. Which is true. You could try that whenever you're having an argument with your spouse sometimes. Start laughing. I don't know whether that'll actually go down very well. It might not. It could be out of control. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. I've always thought that a big laugh is a really loud noise from the soul saying, ain't that the truth? That's only Americans would probably like that one. And love may make the world go around, but laughter keeps us from getting dizzy. So I think we need to laugh more. It's essential. It's essential to life. We need to laugh. It's essential for our relationships. There is something that bonds when you laugh together. Laughter is actually an important part of what we do. So just some scriptures. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. Psalm 126, 3 says, we were filled with laughter, we sang for joy, and the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. This is when they came out of captivity. They began to laugh and sing. There was this release. You know, where I'm preparing a message for Christmas Eve, and it's joy to the world. And I think the thing that I get there is that same parallel, that the escape from the weight of sin and the escape from the weight means that we are free. We should be laughing and singing because of it. Proverbs 15:15 says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. So no matter what you've heard, I think that Christians should be people that laugh. And, you know, like I said, Jesus was criticized by his enemies for partying. The sinners. In fact, the more I sort of start thinking about it, I think the Pharisees got so annoyed with him because he was so free and full of laughter. And you know, our religiousness at times, or religious spirit, always tends to try to make things intense and serious. Whereas I don't know whether that's exactly how Jesus was. And in fact, that's probably why the Pharisees got so upset with him, because he wasn't doing their formalized norm. He wasn't unhappy. He wasn't grumpy. He wasn't moaning at everything. So when the Jews came back from captivity, they said in Psalm 176, "We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy." We sang, and you know, we talk about singing, but it's a flow of joy. For laughter comes with that. Being critical and grumpy aren't qualities that make people want to be like you. Just saying. If the shoe fits. People won't come back to a church where everybody is unfriendly and long-faced. People won't go back to anything. They won't go back to a cafe if the people in there are grumpy and unhappy. It's amazing how it can affect how you feel. So we've got to get the right timing. And I think we've got to look for things to laugh at in life. And I've had some funny things happen to me. Some of them I'm not sure whether I should tell, but I will tell you one. When Eleanor and I just got married, we'd probably been married about 3 or 4 months. We'd moved back to Tauranga and we were in the Otamarae church there. And they used to have big pulpits. Like, I don't even have one now. They had those big pulpits. It took two people to carry it. And so I was sitting on the front row and they said, could a couple of young guys just move the pulpit to the side of the auditorium? And I thought, yeah, okay, I can do that. I was sitting on the front row. So I jumped up onto the stage. So the stage was up about this high. It was a bit higher than what it was today. Jumped up on stage and grabbed the pulpit and looked down to see my undies from the night before coming out the bottom of my jeans onto the stage in front of everyone. What do you do? I mean, at least I had clean undies on and that was why they were there. So I just picked them up and threw them into the back of this big pulpit and thought, maybe nobody saw. Maybe. So we walk it over to the side and look, I just forgot about it. Honestly, I didn't even think about it. And an older lady in the church came up to Eleanor. Now, we've only been married not very long. And she says to Eleanor, your husband dropped a sock. She knew it wasn't a sock. She dropped the sock and he's put it in the back of the pulpit. Maybe you should get it. So here's Eleanor, goes over to the pulpit, thinking she's about to get out a sock, to find it's my undies, which she was, you wouldn't think it, like now you'd think she wouldn't even be embarrassed by it, but now, back then she was extremely embarrassed about this. She sort of wrapped it up and went straight to the bin and threw it in the bin. They were a good pair of undies too, and I... You didn't see that coming. Well, I should have bought a prop, shouldn't I? But it's okay. We are in church. So the other one, and Dave Bell's here, so he can verify this story for me. Our oldest son, Caleb, was 5, and Eleanor picked him up from school one day, Bethlehem College, and picked him up, and he gets into the car and he bursts into tears. And Eleanor says, "What's wrong?" "I had to go to the principal's office." That was Dave's office. "I had to go to the principal's office." "What for?" "For weeing in the garden." "What did the principal say?" "He said if I do it again, I'll be on report." "I don't even know what report is." So The next day I'm walking into school and I bump into Dave and I said to him, I see you've had Eleanor's children, one of Eleanor's childs in your office, you know. And he goes, yes, he says, sometimes I like my job. And now you can verify whether this is true or not, but this is how I remembered. He said, you know, sometimes I love my job. He said, I had these two boys in my office for weeing in the garden. And so he said, I said to Caleb, why'd you do it? He said, well, I was just running along and my pants came down and I had to go. Like you do. Now the other boy said to him, and now remember we're in a Christian school, why'd you do it? The devil made me do it. Do you remember that? That's a great answer when you're in a Christian school, isn't it? I'm not going to get into trouble now. It's that devil guy. You got to look for things to laugh for. We need to laugh more. We actually need to laugh, and you need to hang out with people with laugh because it's actually therapeutic for you. Laughter lifts our spirit. I think it helps our marriages. It helps our families. Just sitting around the table laughing and we've got four children, and nowadays when we sit down around the table, we hear things that we didn't even know happened. And some of them you just sort of got to go, oh my goodness. It lifts our spirit, you know, and I think it helps you survive the stress of things. Just laughing, it does something. And in fact, I feel at times some of us need to set some time aside for it and go, I'm going to laugh. One of the things that's been good for our marriage is that we both quite enjoy comedy. And so we'll sit down and watch a Michael McIntyre, which 90% of the time is pretty good. Every now and again, he gets a bit off script. But we watch something that causes us to laugh because it's therapeutic. I was thinking today, I wrote down this, that, you know, I sing around the house all the time, but I can't for the life of me remember the words. And that really annoys my kids. So, of course, the more I do it, the better. But I actually feel that a few of you are in that boat as well, because when the words didn't come up this morning, I heard you all stop singing. And not knowing the words, well, you just make them up, guys. Just make them up. No one will know. No one will know, you know. Or mumble. Mumble works in that. Look, the staff, I think it's a happy, you know, it's a good place at work when you laugh. And one of the things we enjoy in the staff is some funny things, because you've just got to laugh. Life is full of too many hard things. Yes, you've got to, at the right time, feel the weight of them and work through them. But sometimes we just need to laugh. And here's some things I thought you could do. You could just look for funny things on social media. And even that's quite interesting, because after I spoke this message in Tauranga, I had a whole lot of people come up to show me the funny things they had on social media. And what I realised is what they think is funny, I don't think is funny. But I had to politely laugh, otherwise, you know, you don't want to. But find what makes you laugh. Watch cartoons. Some of you actually would be really good for you to sit down and watch some cartoons, even some old ones you used to watch, just to, I mean, maybe put a kid beside you so that you've got an excuse to be able to do it. I don't know. Watch some movies that are comedy. They are really good for you. It's quite therapeutic. Watch some comedians. Share some jokes. I don't care if they're dad jokes. Share them anyway. I mean, even if you laugh at the person telling them. In fact, hey, let me tell you a joke. Shall I try telling you a joke? Okay, we'll try this one. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After the checkup, the doctor took the wife aside and said, listen, it's really serious. If you don't do the following things I'm going to tell you to do, your husband is going to die. You really need to do these things. Otherwise, you know, he's not going to survive. Number one, each morning fix him a healthy breakfast and send him off to work in a good mood. At lunchtime, number two, make him a warm, nutritious meal and put him in a good frame of mind before he goes back to work. Three, for dinner, fix him an especially nice meal and don't burden him with any household chores. Four, satisfy his every whim. On the way home, the husband asked the wife, "What did the doctor say to you when he took you aside?" "You're going to die." A man placed some flowers on the grave of his dearly departed mother and started back toward his car when his attention was diverted to another man kneeling at the grave. This man seemed to be praying with profound intensity and kept repeating, "Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die?" The first man approached him and said, "Sir, you know, I don't wish to interfere with your private grief, but this demonstration of pain is more than I've ever seen before. For whom do you mourn so deeply? A child? A parent?" The mourner took a moment to collect himself and then replied, "My wife's first husband." Is that allowed? Or are we in trouble? Have we got any Baptists here? Anybody that classes? Okay, a few little hands out. I told this last week, the other day in Coast, and there was a Baptist pastor there, so he said it was okay, but we'll try it anyway. Okay, you ready? We're not going to get offended, are we? No, no. That's other people. They do that. Okay, a Baptist preacher and his wife decided to get a new dog. Ever mindful of the congregation, they knew the dog must also be Baptist. They visited the kennel. They visited kennel after kennel and explained their needs. Finally, they found a kennel whose owner assured them that he had the dog, just the dog they wanted. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastor and said, "Fetch the Bible," he commanded. The dog bounded to the bookshelf and scrutinized the books, located the Bible and brought it to the owner. And then he said, "Find Psalm 23. The dog dropped the Bible to the floor and slowly, amazingly, with his paws, leafed through and found the correct passage and pointed to it with his paw. The pastor and his wife were very impressed and purchased the dog. That evening, a group of church members came to visit. The pastor and his wife began to show off the dog, having him locate several Bible verses. The visitors were really, really impressed. And one man said, "Well, can he do any regular sort of dog tricks?" I haven't tried any. So he pointed his finger at the dog and said, "Heel!" The pastor commanded, and then the dog immediately jumped on a chair and placed one paw on the pastor's forehead and began to howl. The pastor and his wife looked in shock and said, "Good Lord, it's a Pentecostal." Are you okay? You need to laugh. You need to laugh. You need to look for laughter, and I think you need to take a daily dose of it. Proverbs 15:30 says this: "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health." And I mean, the one that I remember of the interpretation of that verse was, "A merry heart is good like a medicine." It's a medicine for us. It is something that does something to our spirit. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A relaxed attitude lengthens a person's life." That's fascinating. Did you know that children laugh 400 times a day on average, and the average adult only laughs 15 times a day? What does that tell you? Jesus said, you need to be like little children. Well, what was he meaning? Well, I think it's the freedom that they have. It's that freedom to laugh. We need to laugh. We need to laugh. It has a whole lot of amazing effects for you as a de-stressor. Laughter decreases the stress hormones. It's good for allergies. It helps control pain by raising the level of the brain's natural endorphins, which can be 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. It's God's prescription drug. Laughter helps relieve stress by causing a release of the natural painkillers in the body. When we laugh out loud, endorphins and adrenaline are released with a result, which result in a natural high, making you feel good about yourself. they did a study, and so this was a Norwegian university, reported that good sense of humour cuts one's chances of death by 70% compared with adults with a poor sense of humour. It's even been proven that people who laugh live longer. So in Japan, they did a study and revealed that if you want to live longer, you need to laugh more. The study showed that laughter, humor, and happiness play key roles in good health and longevity and reduce instances of high blood pressure, flu, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. Laughter is important psychologically. Effects on our marriage partners and co-workers and friends. Humour also helps improve our creativity and our memory. Our minds more readily remember something if it's connected to something funny. So a cheerful heart is good medicine. And some of us need to take it a little bit more. And I feel sometimes we need to intentionally go look for it. Something that you laugh at every day. And in fact, I think a lot of our young people need to laugh. It's contagious. God laughs. In Psalm 2 verse 4, God, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. Laughter is the best medicine. God laughs. Jesus definitely laughed. And this is what someone wrote, and I thought this was a great analogy. Yes, Jesus smiled. Yes, Jesus laughed. Jesus smiled wider and laughed heartier than any human being who ever walked the planet. He was young, he radiated good cheer. Jesus was a man of such merriment, such gladness of heart, such freedom and openness that he proved irresistible. He became known throughout Galilee for his genuine strength, the sparkle in his eyes, the spring in his step, the heartiness of his laugh, the genuineness of his touch, his passion, playfulness, excitement, and vitality, his joy. He made a dazzling display of love. He set hearts on fire. He was an elated, triumphant young man with an incredible quality of life, so different from the solemn, religious types he constantly encountered. And again, I think that's why they reacted to him. I think they reacted to him because they weren't happy and they weren't free and they weren't full of joy. You know, probably the best picture I have of what it'll be like in being around Jesus is in Luke 7. And you can go home and read that. But it talks about Jesus walking into a town, I think it's called Nain. It's not related to anything. It's just called Nain. The picture is if you just think about a whole crowd walking with Jesus, and in that crowd you'd have some people that were blind now see, and they would be going, they'd be overwhelmed with everything, wouldn't they? You would have some people there that had been lame who are now walking who hadn't been able to go on a trip anywhere for years. You just think how they're walking. They'd be so full of excitement, so full of life. It would be a pretty sort of loud, cheerful, life-giving sort of crowd walking along. It would have been pretty amazing. This is all these free people, all these healed people. You'd be just full of excitement. Man, this is amazing. And he walks into town, and what do they encounter? They encounter a funeral. And the funeral had a woman with her only son, so she'd obviously lost her husband. Her only son here has died, and they're walking in a funeral. And a real picture of death, really, a real picture of no hope, a real picture of what's going to happen. And the two groups meet. And what happens when life touches death? Well, Jesus goes over and heals and raises from the dead, not only heals, but raises from the dead, the boy. You imagine the change. That's what happens when life should meet what's hard in life. You and I should be the life carriers. We should be the people that bring life to the situations and bring life because, not because we laugh at everything. You know, I think we've, you know, there are some here that would go, man, there's some people that laugh too much and possibly they could laugh at the wrong times. But we should be the people that carry life, carry hope to people that changes the atmosphere of the room they're in. In his presence is the fullness of joy. What does that mean? What does that mean? In his presence is the fullness of joy. Surely it's got to be expressed. Surely it should come out in us. You know, people say, I've got deep joy. Well, if your face isn't showing it, what's happened? You know, it should be an overflow of us. It should be something that happens, and it should be something that affects the people that we're around. I think that's enough. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I do thank you for your freedom. I thank you that you've set us free. Lord, help us to live in that freedom. Lord, help us to carry freedom everywhere we go. Lord, help us to be secure. Help us to shine your light. Lord, light is brightness, Lord. It's full of life. Light causes life to happen here on earth. Lord, I pray that we would be people that shine your life, shine a light that makes a difference in the world around us. Lord, I pray for those who maybe find it hard to laugh. Lord, I pray that they would be able to go on a journey to find things to laugh at. Lord, as they find things to be thankful for. Lord, it's things that we're grateful for. And Lord, I pray that those that are feeling anxious and under stress, that Lord, again, they would just find ways to release that stress, Lord. Lord, I pray you bring people into the world, into our worlds that is full of life and freedom and love to laugh. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to be lights that shine in the darkness. Holy Spirit. And if you don't know Jesus, or this morning, just while everyone's got their eyes closed, if you don't have a relationship with God, we always want to give people an opportunity. And all you have to do is ask him to come into your life. And it starts on a journey. It's a journey of doing life with God. And all you need to do is ask him to come into your life and forgive him of your ask him to forgive you of your sins. And suddenly, you may not realize it, but that sin is a weight. And then when forgiveness comes and he takes away that burden and he cleans us up, we live free. We live with life. Holy Spirit, I pray for people here and anyone who doesn't know you or maybe has walked away from you, Lord, I pray that they would come to you and they would know that freedom. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to have freedom. Lord, help us to be people that don't need a crutch in a sense to laugh or to get joy out of life. Lord, I pray that we would be people that have the joy flowing in that starts from the inside and works out rather than trying to use things from the outside to work in, Father. Lord, help us to be carriers of your life. Bless each person here, I pray. Even over this Christmas period, Lord, I pray that as families come together, there'll be a lot of laughter in people's homes. That, Lord, there would be a freedom in life in the homes that we are all in, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.